Josiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Josiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Josiah's Branch. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we are on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, before I get started, a few notes. People keep asking when these programs are going to replay and such, so I'll answer that question right now. Wish to point out that this radio program, like all Sunday programs we do, will be broadcast again on American Voice Network on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Central, and Sundays, I think it is, 9 a.m. Central. You can always go to American Voice Radio and check out their broadcast schedule. They have a lot of good programs over there. Most generally, the program's archive is on the Josiah's Branch website by about the first of the week, sometimes a little bit later. Then we are rebroadcast again on Spirit One Radio on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central on the net, and locally they broadcast on 100.3 FM in Buffalo, New York, and they also broadcast on 100.3 FM WEOM in Thomasville, North Carolina, as well as other places. Spirit One can be heard live on the net also. You can find that information out on my website. Spirit One also rebroadcasts, I think, some of Frank's programs. I know they do rebroadcast some other American Voice Radio programs, so they are worth checking out. Let's make sure that today you have your pens handy at 6:50 so you can get our guest web contact information, and we do have a station break at 6:27. So first I'm going to start this with a prayer, and we'll get right on into it. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I just ask what comes out on this program is what you want to come out by your Holy Spirit and not what I want. And I really thank you for the time with the world this week. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Now we need to have faith. Faith in believing that when we hear Messiah's voice, that we act on it and not just hear the voice and not act on it. Recently, we had an ice storm, and by faith, I had wood prepared. I'd put in a place in a wood stove. Our family had food while others were cold and hungry. And so by faith, I was taken care of. But unless you're a millionaire, when this time that's coming upon the world, the Great Tribulation, no matter what you store up, eventually that provision's going to run out. And if the provision doesn't run out, it could be seized by, say, the government. Or anything could happen to it. You could have to get up and move to another place in order to be safe. And so the kind of faith that we need to have in that time is going to be just unimaginable. And I can't thank anybody better than to describe that kind of faith than my brother David Ells. Are you with us, David?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord. And so how are you? It's been a few weeks since I've heard from you.
I'm very blessed, Pastor Dan, very blessed.
I'm very blessed. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. The world's still, I think, pretty shook up from this last tsunami. I always put that T in front of it. It's there. They ought to just move the T away.
Yeah.
But anyway, the recent tsunami has shook up a lot of people, and I had a lot of people questioning me about whether they should store up, and they didn't seem to understand the line between, yeah, we should be prepared, but then again, at some time, the Lord's just going to take over. And so I'm hoping that you can clarify again for these saints out there as to what to do.
Well, there's a wilderness coming. We
yes,
can see that. I think probably many of your listeners believe that the church is going through this tribulation to come because
yes.
It's the Bible. I mean, the Bible says that the things that happened unto them were by way of example. And
right.
The word example there means type and figure. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So, you know, Israel went through the wilderness. They didn't jump over it to the promised land. But God had a provision for them there.
Right.
And it wasn't their own provision. Because when they came out of Egypt, they plundered Egypt. And they carried that provision with them. But
yes.
By the time they had been out there 3 days journey into the wilderness, they started running out of everything that they brought. And this God had a purpose in this. I mean, he cushioned their, eased them into the faith life, let me say.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is going to happen for the church. Some people are going to store up, but they're going to find out real quick that's not the way God's going to provide in the wilderness. He's going to provide by signs and wonders and miracles, just like he did for our type and through our type and shadow, which was Israel, you know.
Right.
And another thing that's I think is totally exciting. You know, I've been sharing for the last three or four programs, what the Lord has shown me about the provision that He's going to manifest through His people who walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is coming to be manifested in His people. That's the great thing. And it's not the Jesus, the modern day Jesus, the do nothing Jesus, the Jesus that doesn't save. This is the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the Gospels. That's the Jesus that's going to be manifested in the end time, saints, folks.
And not to interrupt you, but that'll be the Messiah that spoke that said that you'll do greater things than I have.
Amen.
And talking about great, because he did some awful great miracles, Brother David. And he's saying you're going to do greater things.
Absolutely. Because I go to the Father, he said. Well, why did he go to the Father? Well, he left an individual body in order to come back in a corporate body and do the same works. However, just as it was with the Jews, there was a great falling away, and God's plan of replicating Jesus in his people was thwarted because of this great falling away. Okay, but God hadn't failed. And he's going to prove the power of his salvation through his latter-day people. He has said some awesome things. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians, he said just before the coming of the Lord that he would come to be glorified in his saints. That's verse 10.
Right.
And to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Sounds like Paul was saying, look, I'm sharing the gospel with you, but you're not really believing it like you will in that day.
Right.
You know? And he goes on to say, to which end we also pray always for you that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God, our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of our Lord was going to be glorified in the people in the end times. And the name, of course, means the nature, character, and authority. Onoma.
Right.
Onoma means nature, character, and authority. So we're talking about the real Jesus here, not the Jesus of dead religion that we've seen all around us, you know. We're talking about the real Jesus coming to be glorified in his saints before he comes for his saints.
Right.
Now, that's awesome, folks. We look at ourselves the way we are now, and we wonder, how can we go through that? Well, we're not going to be the way we are now. The Bible says where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. God is about to make some awesome changes that's going to prepare us to go through this wilderness, folks. You know, one thing I'd like to point out to you is that two things are going to happen that haven't happened now that's going to make this totally possible for the saints of God, and that is the last 7 days that God's people were in Egypt. Now, remember, the things that happened unto them were by way of a type and a figure, right?
Right.
The last 7 days that God's people were in Egypt, which is a type of the world, were called the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right.
For 7 days, they were warned not to partake of anything but the unleavened bread. If any leaven was found in their houses in those days, they were cut off from among the people of Israel. Now, you know what? Jesus came and he taught the unleavened bread in his day. And after him, those disciples had been raised up to teach the unleavened bread in their day. Of course, they met with the religious folks, and the religious folks didn't like it, felt threatened, and came against the full gospel that they taught.
Right.
And nothing has changed, folks. We're just going to repeat that in our days. The Lord spoke to me specifically, and he said that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to be repeated, except the cast of characters was going to be multiplied many times over.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. We're going through the Gospel and the book of Acts again. We're about to have our own book of Acts. This time it's not the former reign. This time it's the latter reign. You know that Jesus is coming, like we just read, Jesus is coming to be glorified in his saints. You know, it says that basically in Hosea chapter 6. You know, Jesus left, didn't he? As far as being manifested in a physical body, he left in Hosea 5 and 15. I'm going to read that to you. It says,
okay.
I will go and return unto my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. And in their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. See, tribulation causes God's people to seek him. And then it goes on to say, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. See, we got a revival coming, folks. It's after 2 days. And, of course, a day is unto the Lord. It's 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. And we're talking about 2 days after the beginning of the coming of Jesus. Because we've got, there's a 7-day count, prophetic, 1,000-year count starting from Adam. But
right.
There's a 3-year, 1,000-year count starting from the last Adam, which is Jesus. So we're beginning the 7th 1,000-year, and we're beginning the 3rd 1,000 years, depending upon which Adam you count from. Okay?
Right.
So he left. So we're talking about the last Adam, Jesus Christ, right? He left, and he says, after 2 days, he will revive us. There's a great revival coming. And on the 3rd day, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. So now we're talking about the morning of the 3rd day, which is where we are right now.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I believe that. I'm just glad to hear you say it. I'd like to hear somebody else of faith say it.
Yeah, this is we're coming to the most awesome time in history when Jesus Christ is going to be manifested in his saints around the world. And it goes on to say, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. He will come unto us. You see, everybody's got their eyes on the sky because
right.
they think Jesus is coming. Most think he's coming pre-tribulation, and others think he's coming post-tribulation. But listen, he said, personally, he said he was coming in a different way than either one of those groups believes. Now, I know that Jesus is coming in the clouds. There's no doubt in my mind. But the thing is, the Bible teaches that he's coming as an epiphany before he comes as a parousia. If you look at the original word there, it makes a whole lot of difference. If you just look at the way the translators translated it, because they only recognized one kind of coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But let me point something out to you that's just awesome. It's awesome good news. Jesus said he was coming in John 16. Let me read that to you.
Okay.
It's just awesome good news. In John 16, Jesus said in verse 19, Jesus perceived. Now, of course, Jesus was dealing with the early church there, his disciples, who were the early church, right?
Right.
Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him. And he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves concerning this that I said, a little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Well, of course, people think that that was talking about the resurrection, but as you go on, you see that that's not the truth. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And, of course, the disciples did weep and lament, and the world around them did rejoice, but that wasn't the end of the story. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So he's talking about the disciples, his people, his body there, being sorrowful. Then he goes on to say, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. What woman in travail is he talking about? He's talking about his people. Again, a woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. So now we're talking about a woman in travail that's bringing forth a man child.
Right.
Verse 22. And you, therefore, now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. Well, what was he talking about seeing him again? He was talking about the child born to the woman. Exactly what happened the first time when Jesus came.
Right.
He was a child born to a woman. Now, you know, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. God is about to do this again, folks. Listen, God's provision in the wilderness, in one form, was Moses, right?
Right.
Moses brought forth the provision in the wilderness. Joseph was another type of the man-child who brought forth in their 7 years of wilderness, right?
Right, sure.
Okay, and Jesus, when Jesus took the disciples out into the, it's translated desert, but it's the same word, wilderness.
Right.
When he took them out into the wilderness, what happened? Same thing as it with Moses. Same thing with Joseph. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He fed them. He healed them. He protected them. He did these things. And now, look what he's saying. He's saying he's coming again, and they're going to rejoice. The people of God are going to rejoice. And not only that, he goes on to say, in that day, you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. In other words, God's people are finally going to come into the place where they're going to be able to receive from God. Even though the promises have been there from the beginning, God's people haven't been partaken of that. Now,
right.
If you go all the way through the book, you come to Revelation chapter 12, where the woman brings forth the man-child that feeds the woman in the wilderness.
Right.
Okay, and of course, obviously, the woman is going into the wilderness. Now, you read that in chapter 12, verse 4, 5, and 6. And the woman in verse 4 is waiting to be delivered of the man-child. In verse 5, it says she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. And
right.
Her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Notice that she went into the wilderness. She wasn't born there. People are saying, hey, that multitude of saints over there in the middle of the tribulation, they were born again there. All the saints flew away. Not true. I mean, first of all, you're breaking with history. You're breaking with the types and the shadows, and you're breaking with the word. The woman went into the wilderness. She was the woman before she went into the wilderness.
Right. Correct.
Out of Egypt have I called my son, he said, speaking of Israel. He called his son out of Egypt and into the wilderness. So it's false, folks, if you think you're going to jump over the wilderness and go to the promised land. That's a lie. The
right.
woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. So 3.5 years ministry of the man-child to the woman. The man-child, of course, is those people in whom Christ has come and manifest himself again. They are the first fruits of those in whom Jesus will come to be manifested. You say, how can this happen? How could Jesus come again? I just read it to you, Hosea 6 and 2. He's coming again in the latter rain. He came in the former rain, did he not?
Yes.
And in the former rain, he was the one who received the Holy Spirit. He ministered for 3.5 years. Then he breathed on the disciples, and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And 10 days later, a rushing mighty wind came into that place, and they were all filled. And that was called the former rain. Now what he's saying is the same thing. History's going to repeat. The same thing's about to happen again, except the cast of characters has been multiplied many times over. You see, we just read 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, just before the coming of the Lord, that he was going to come to be glorified in his saints. Another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Watch, let me show you God's provision in the wilderness. You want to see God's provision? It's the same as it's always been, the man-child. It's always been that way historically. And God's not going to break with history, okay?
Right.
And so, but Paul said this was going to happen because the testimony that he gave and the disciples with him gave was going to be believed in that day. You see, God's people are not believing the gospel because they're missing out on the unleavened bread. The last 7 days is when the man-child, just like Jesus did, is going to share the unleavened bread. And because of that, the latter rain is going to be poured out, this time around the world, not just in little Israel, but around the world in spiritual New Testament Israel. Not physical, necessarily physical Israel, but of course a remnant is going to come into the kingdom, of course. But in verse chapter 3 and verse 18 it says, but we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. This is the gospel that has not been believed in a long, long time, folks.
Right.
We don't have any power to bring forth Jesus Christ. We have to believe in what the gospel says, that I was crucified with Christ, and I don't live anymore. It's now Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that's what Paul said. That's what we got to believe. You know, if you behold your natural face in the mirror, James said you'll just be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the word, deceiving yourself. But, according to this text, if you see Jesus in the mirror by faith, you accept that he lives in you by faith. You accept the good news that you were crucified with Christ, your old man was put to death, and now this same Jesus of the Bible, not another Jesus, as Paul said, this same
right.
Jesus of the Bible lives in you. That same power. You're taking on his name, which is what? His nature, character, and authority. That's what the word name means. We read that in 1 Thessalonians, right?
Right.
So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, excuse me. So here he says that the glory of the Lord, if you will behold him in the mirror by faith, that the glory of the Lord will be manifested in you from glory to glory, as from the Lord to Spirit. And as you read on down in the text, he tells you the same thing. For instance, in verse 5, it says, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face. In other words, if you're not beholding him in the mirror, the real Jesus in the mirror, you can't hope to be manifesting his glory. First of all, a lot of people are studying another Jesus, and they believe in another modern-day Jesus that is a powerless, pretty
right.
much worthless Jesus. But our Jesus is Savior in all things, and he is our provider, and he is our provision, because we can do nothing without him, but we can do all things through him. And when you read on down, say in verse 10, it says, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. See, some people don't have any hope of Jesus living in them until they die and go to heaven. That's their idea. When I die and go to heaven, then I'll be like him. Well, that's not what the Word says, folks. If you're missing out on that part here, you probably won't make that part either. Verse 11 says, for we who live are always delivered unto death. Death to self, right?
Right.
For Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Mortal flesh is this thing we're walking around in here, folks. This is where Jesus wants to come and live, right?
Right.
And I got news for you. The word there, manifested, is the word phaneru, and it means to shine, to cause to shine. This is the glory that God is talking about. Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's talking about here the glory of the same Jesus Christ glowing out of this mortal flesh.
David, hold that thought. We're
sure.
Just about at break time, but praise the Lord, I understand what you're telling. You know, our old self, we had to die and become born again. Unless a man is born twice, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. So praise the Lord. We'll talk about that and let you explain more to the people out there, to the saints out there, and we're getting ready to go to break. Praise the Lord.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.